Hello. I was going to do a Michael Buffer introduction, but that's too cliche. So I'm just going to go with a standard. This is the Fair Wizards. I'm Elvin. Not just keeping it the average.
Just the regular Alvin. I'm
Just
Mike.
regular. Yeah.
And I got two things, two bones to pick before we even start this motherfucker. One,
Are they farts?
no, but they could
No.
be. One, I posted a meme that was geared specifically at you on our Facebook page. One picture depicting the Seven of Swords and another one depicting the Six of Swords buried in a meme about item collection. And you didn't say anything, and I was very upset. And I'm upset in the gamer culture in general for not tying together Pharaoh Wizards and tarot cards and memes. But god damn it, when I go out of my way to do something like that, now I'm just going to post Quest 64 memes forever.
Is that one thing, or is there another thing? Because you said you got two bones.
I did have a second bone to pick, but now I'm so fucking angry about that. I can't think of what the first. Oh yeah, thanks to our Christmas episode, instead of getting my wife a dick in a box, I got her some Animal Crossing sweatpants that she very much likes. Thanks, Pharaoh Wizards.
Well, how did that help?
Because it's a we talked about getting non-video game gifts.
Oh, yeah. You took
I
your own
took my own
advice.
advice and then got Animal Crossing sweatpants.
Well, you're a wise man. I assume she loved it. Also
She.
probably would have appreciated Dick in a Box, like someday. Maybe not at the time of Christmas, because you got kids and shit, and that would have been weird. But
Maybe.
yeah.
But the sweatpants were a big hit. So, Dick in the Box, the jury's still out, but.
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, I pretty much have two online modes right now. And one is holy shit, Civil War. And the other one is I'm so angry at everybody that I know. So I apologize for missing the meme.
That's okay.
But yeah. Anyway, this week, Ready to Rumble Boxing. If all of that didn't somehow hint at what we were trying to do, we're going to review that game like we review all the games, so you guys don't have to play them. We're really good at this, professional podcasters. Mike,
That's me.
give us a little bit of information about Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Well, on October 31st, 1999, it was released after being developed and published by Midway, who are just kicking it out of the fucking field in
Word.
the early Pharaoh Wizards episodes, really crushing the scores around here. So, go Midway. I'm sorry you're departed, but we appreciate you. This game is I have a special Mike Fink note for this game. This one really fucks with me because it actually came out 2 months earlier on the Dreamcast than it did on the Nintendo 64. And in the chronological order of my brain and the order which we bought systems and how things look and feel in video game land, also in my brain, that doesn't make any sense that the Dreamcast one came out before the N64 one because I traded a bunch of N64 stuff in to get a Dreamcast and Dreamcast games, and Dreamcast looks markedly better than N64.
Honestly, Dreamcast absolutely, like, Sega was just like took the whole two horse race and was like, hey guys, how about fuck all you, and just like released like a half gen system between like the new and the old, and it blows everything from the previous gen out of the water and doesn't quite stack up to everything in the new, or the, well, what would have been considered the new gen with PS2, GameCube, and Xbox eventually. Because Xbox came out well third, right? Like
Yes. Yes. The Dreamcast did well against PS2. It just didn't have the bat. It didn't, first of all, it came out too early compared to PS2. But as far as graphically, looked really good. And then four controller ports, really fucking sweet. But then they didn't have third-party support, and the game library never fucking got there like PS2 did. And
Yeah, they unfortunately ran into the situation that Nintendo often finds itself in, which is their first party shit is spectacular. Nobody else supported them. Like if somehow Nintendo and Sega had joined forces, it would have been a reckoning for pretty much everybody else. But that's not how it played out. Sega did their own thing and then had a series of misadventures. Not related to the quality of the system because the Sega Dreamcast is amazing. That being said, we are not playing the Sega Dreamcast. We are playing Nintendo 64. So that's the version we're going to deal with today.
yes.
So, as always, five category scale, it's gameplay, story, replay value, aesthetics, and the cost value. And as always, we start with gameplay. I gave this gameplay, and I hope you're sitting down. A 19 out of 20.
I gave it a 16 out of 20, 87.5%.
This game on this system, keep in mind I never played it on Dreamcast, so I really don't know much about how that one handles. But this game handled boxing perfectly on this console. Just all the controls, the fact that you can duck and dodge and bob and weave and block and even the if there was any control issue I had, it'd be that instead of using like one of the many buttons that they really just didn't use, the Z or the shoulders and stuff to activate the special, they had you push like both block buttons down together. Anyway, minor grievance on it. The handling of it is really, really good. The game still feels, fresh. I mean, it's not like a simulation style. Like it's not like a you'd expect Fight Night where, it has, you control the punches really specific, but you had, a variety of punches with low hooks and jabs and high and uppercuts and all that stuff. It had everything basically you'd want on a boxing game. Another complaint I guess I would have, and it's a very small one, is that the hit detection isn't as good as I would have wanted it to be. It's one of those games where it would have been cool if they'd put some like arcadey style explosion to show that you connected, because not everything necessarily is straightforward. Like, oh, did that punch hit? I think it hit, but unless the guy falls down, sometimes you don't really know if your punches are connecting. But other than that, I loved everything about this game. I still like playing this game, and it plays really well on N64. That's my thoughts.
They're good thoughts. I appreciate your thoughts. This game made me forget my grievance with Knockout Kings of analog sticks replacing C button punching in games. The C button punching in this game was way better. It was perfect. I don't know what the difference was, but playing it, like, I mean, I know what the difference was. It was crisper and more intuitive. It's not that Knockout Kings was bad. It just that style of game would have lent itself better to analog punching. This arcadey style, fast-paced, action-packed game, the C button punching makes way more sense. And it's really, really good. Really good.
I honestly, like I said, if it was just the punching alone, it would have been better than Knockout Kings, in my opinion. But the fact that you can actually, like, dodge punches in directions and stuff like that, and actually like lean away from things in different directions, it takes, because a lot of times video game boxing games end up turning me into like a rock, paper, scissors style match where you're basically trying to predict what the other person's about to throw. This game, because it's so fast paced and because you can mix things up so well, like combos feel a lot more natural. Everything just feels really good. Like you don't have to think a lot to get off the hang of this game, which I guess could eventually lead to its downfall if you don't play a lot of, single player or multiplayer, because eventually you're going to get really fucking good at this game and you're probably going to just destroy the computer on a regular basis. But that's also, like I said, sometimes that's just fun to do. So I don't, I really have very little negative to say. I'm assuming that your less enthusiastic response, not that you said it was bad, has to do with the fact that you just prefer the Dreamcast.
I mean, yeah, but this game taken in a microcosm, my biggest downside for it was that it seemed like blocking was not an effective combat strategy. I know that it's an arcade game and I get, but like it was pretty clear early and often that dodging and parrying was the far superior way to play this game to
Yes.
so it kind of like took away. So when you're talking about rock, paper, scissors, you know, punch, block, dodge, it kind of took away the rock or whichever one you want to use this euphemism is. But so it that didn't necessarily like hurt the gameplay, but it definitely when you're playing as the bigger characters, being able to get close and block and then punch is would be the desirable strategy, and it's not as effective as playing with a character with longer reach, which reach and power had an incredible amount of oomph in this game, like way more than I thought at the beginning for an arcade game, but like they're very important. But if you can't get in close with the powerful characters and block, parry, and counter, it makes it a lot harder for those specific characters to be played effectively. So that was my minor gripe, is that the faster, lankier characters that could bob and weave and get in and out faster were the better fighters in the game and were the better choices down the road.
Yeah, I mean they don't go through any trouble of like specifying like weight classes. Everybody fights everybody.
Yes.
So and that's just it's part of the charm and character of this game. I mean, I guess it could be you could liken it to Mike Tyson's Punch Out, where you're playing as Little Mac, who is literally a third of the size of every other character that he fights. But I don't know. I thought that was cool. I thought the variety of characters was cool, and it does lend a little bit to the different styles, to the longevity of the game, at least, that the different styles of characters affects how you play it. So I honestly liked the fact that, yeah, you could walk into it and try to block your way through some stuff, but I liked the fact that obviously the skill-based method would be a higher rewarding tactic, where you counter or you dodge versus just tanking your way in and holding block. So for me, like I said, that kind of added to that was part of the thing I enjoyed. So I guess if you prefer to play a more of a traditional boxing style, where you literally just block your way into things, and yeah, I could see it not being as enjoyable. But for me, like I said, I preferred the fact that like you had the option to block, but obviously they were encouraging you to take the dodging and stuff like that seriously. So from a fan of fighting games in general, not necessarily boxing, I thought that was cool.
And the Rumble Flurry that you talked about, where you got press both the block buttons, that was really cool too. That's the only thing that requires like a specific, like a character specific button combination. So after you activate it, then you still to you can just throw some punches and they're powerful, but there's a like a combo that you could tap in and then it throws off like 15 to 20 punches per boxer. That's damn near unblockable. And that added another level to the game too, because both characters could save up their Rumble Flurry, and the second one could dodge and then unleash theirs while the first person is, thus negating theirs. So that was a fun like multiplayer thing that we played around with too, was who was going to use theirs first, kind of like the WCW Nitro call somebody from the back. Like, were
Yep.
you going to use your call from the back first, or are we going to use your call from the back to stop the other call from the back from happening?
Right. Yeah, no, the rumble thing is funny. And obviously the computer, it's really funny too, because the computer will use it almost as soon as it gets it, and then you just have to like spend the whole time they have it backing up, and there's not much they can do about it. But I guess you could technically do the same thing to a human player, but in theory, they wouldn't be as timid. I guess they'd be already on you. I don't know. But yeah, there's definitely a strategy involved to when to use that that boost and how to use that boost.
Fun,
So,
fun.
yep. So, what was our average score? You had 16, I had 19, so we were at what, like
87.5.
87, 87.5. So that's definitely up there for gameplay scores.
Yes.
Okay, next category is the story. I gave the story of this game a 17 out of 20.
I gave it a 14 out of 20, so 77.5%.
Things I liked about this story is that they had a full like career where you can train your boxers and play all these mini games to build them up. You have to, fight through certain qualifying fights to fight up to a belt. They had money options, so you had to track your budget, and you could bring other boxers into your I guess gym, and you can trade those boxers as well, things like that. So for what this type of game is, there was actually a lot of depth to the story. Better than a lot of the sports style games you'd see. Obviously, there's no like narrative behind it, but it definitely has a feel of being like, this is a boxing universe where you actually have to, manage type things. It's obviously not as in-depth as some modern games are, but at the time, I can't think of many of this type of game that has anything near as in-depth as what this game's did for its career.
Other than Knockout Kings, which we already reviewed and had all of the same type of stuff, minus the bringing in boxers into your camp.
Yeah.
But they also had create a character on Knockout Kings, so they don't have that on this game, which is a pretty big disappointment too. Because the art style would have lent to you creating a fun character out, even if they just used the pieces of the other characters, hair off one and blah off another, and like that would have been. In addition, they could have got in here and they didn't. So that makes it slightly less rewarding, but still super fun to move up through the ranks. Like you said, there's money fights. Like you don't just have to continually move up through the rankings. You can just fight for some money and then use that to train up or buy steroids or whatever and buff up your boxer before you get to the next fight. So there's lots of cool ways to entertain yourself with the career mode. Even though you are still playing as one of the prefab characters, those are all pretty great too. So let's not take away from those type of characters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't miss the create a character just because, like I said, they have such a wide variety of different characters, and obviously they're all based off of one like shtick or stereotype. So, I mean, you could take that how you will, because but yeah, I mean, there's a good variety of characters to play as with different styles, and I didn't feel like I was missing out anything by not having like generic, I'm making myself in this boxing game type thing. But it would have been interesting if they had something like that. Like, if I'm sure if they were to bring it back now, they would have more of a story attached to it that maybe you could have like your own character brought in. It'd be an interesting game to bring back because I don't know. I think EA needs fucking competition at every goddamn level, so it would be really nice if Ready to Rumble could step up and challenge EA again for boxing, 'cause I don't know, I haven't played any of the newest Punch-Out games, but I feel like Ready to Rumble is a better overall franchise than Punch-Out. Punch-Out relies a lot on the nostalgia factor to survive. Whereas this game.
Who was the boxer you created on Knockout Kings, the rapper?
Hobo Johnson.
Yes, Hobo Johnson. Yes. So EA Sports is Hobo Johnson, and what we really need is for Midway to bring Pissed Offerson to rap battle him. out of the shadows, out of the depths. They need competition. And I agree. Because man, this game would make a fun comeback on current gen systems, especially with online multiplayer and current gen graphics. This wouldn't be hard to make. Even a direct remake like they did with Tony Hawk 1 and 2, you could just do Ready to Rumble rounds 1 and 2 on a single disc and just pump this shit out. Like I don't always like to push, like people are constantly pushing Nintendo for like remakes of N64 games and remakes of, old Nintendo games. And I'm not always about that. I'd rather see like a new Mario Galaxy or like a new Odyssey, rather than see an older Mario game get remade again. But this is one of those games where there hasn't been another game like it in a very long time. So it would fill a gap. It's not just another game that people miss. It's a game that people miss, and there's not really anything like it recently.
Yeah, like I mean, Tony Hawk took quite a few years off before they brought in the remakes here. I mean, there hadn't been a new Tony Hawk in quite some time, so it was good. It was good timing for it. It was a franchise that had kind of languished and not been as great, so it was good timing for it. I think Knockout Kings could definitely, or not Knockout Kings, Ready to Rumble could definitely make a good candidate for a unexpected and maybe welcome reboot. Or even if it was just a remaster of some kind.
I agree, which is not something we do often.
I mean, we're usually pretty close. Our scores are not necessarily as close as our agreement,
That's true. See, we agreed. There, you're right. I'm wrong.
but
I can
All right.
compromise.
Let's go to an ad break and come back, and we'll talk about the rest of this game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
And we're back. Next category is replay value. I gave the replay value on this game a 19 out of 20.
I'm still sitting down from gameplay, so that didn't rock me like a hurricane. I gave it a 14 out of 20, 82.5%.
Obviously this game from a multiplayer standpoint is gonna be a lot of fun. It definitely will favor the better player. You can choose different boxers to try and hedge your bets and stuff like that, but I think the multiplayer is definitely a plus on this one. Obviously that's a big part of replay, but I also feel like the career it is definitely worth making multiple playthroughs through so you can focus on different boxers and all the things that go along with that, including the ones that you unlock later on and whatnot. So I think this game has near unlimited replayability. It'd have been a little bit cooler had been there maybe some more modes, but other than that, I really don't have anything negative to say on the replay.
Yeah, 17 boxers total. So each with very different play styles, like we talked about. You can either go through the enjoyable championship mode and unlock them all, or there's obviously codes to just button presses to unlock them. And so that's cool. Each system has their own special character, too. So the N64 one is J.R. Flurry, and then there's one for Dreamcast and one for PlayStation. There is a. I think there's a Game Boy Color version of this game too. Yeah. But I don't think they have any special character on that one. I didn't actually look.
I would doubt they would on that game, that console, but
Like you
maybe.
said, yeah, lots of stuff to do. favors multiplayer, but I don't know. I don't know. This game, I liked it a lot. I couldn't see playing it as a side-by-side multiplayer game for like forever. It would be fun for maybe an hour or two, but I think that eventually, just because of the shortness of the matches, because like it's not just, throttle the other guy and win on points. It's got the constant three knockdown rule where you get three knockdowns and you win, unless you turn that off in the options. But we play with the standard rules of most games. So there's games where it could go really fast. You can get three knockdowns very, very fast if the other fighter gets backed into a corner and then gets rumble flurried, and then you get him again right before the end or beginning of the next round. You could have potentially like minute and a half to 2 minute game. So I don't like it's not as like there's not as much to it as like a Fight Night game where you could come back. It's very hard to come back in this game. Once you're behind, you're just kind of behind. And if you're going to end up trading blows the rest of the match, that's the way it's going to end. You're just going to be behind. It's enjoyable though. So even when you're losing and trying to claw back, it's still fun to play. The sporadicness of the action affects multiplayer for me. It doesn't, like you said, the better fighter will always win, and that doesn't always make for a better game, I guess.
No, but I guess I come from a background of playing like round robin fighting things where you pass the controller when you lose type situations. And I feel just that it plays really well into that type of scenario. Playing if you had a bunch of people playing and it's an enjoyable game to watch. So I don't know. I could see this as definitely having potential as like a party game. And just because, like I said, the competitiveness of the game and the fact that it's not exactly a game that you can button mash your way through, makes it, for me at least, a pretty enjoyable like experience. Like I said, I used to play I used to have people over and we play Street Fighter 2, like round robin type things, and Mortal Kombat, that was always one too. That, I mean, a lot of those games actually later on incorporated their own like tournament modes and stuff like that, which would be, a cool feature if they continue on with this franchise doing something like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I could see myself getting a lot of mileage out of this, like setting up rivalries. Like me and your brother played a ton of Soul Calibur versus each other, even after everybody else quit.
Yep. Oh, I remember that. And Smash on the GameCube, we played a ton of
Right.
Melee, so the exact same way, either the 64-man tournament where we set up with 60 computers and played four of us waiting to meet each other in the finals against level 9 computers the whole way. But yeah, I mean, every game is better with friends, and I'm not saying that this game isn't better with friends. It just feels like one of those games where there's three fighters that Wegger is going to pick. That's one of our sports game fanatic friends, and he's just going to pound me into oblivion, and I'm never going to enjoy it.
Get good, son.
Yeah, well, when somebody's always better.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it definitely would require, like, if you were the person who owned this game and brought your friends over to play the game and they hadn't played it before, you're gonna be like, well, you're getting stomped. And then it would just be like a round robin of everybody just taking turns trying to beat you. And that wouldn't be fun for them. It'd be fun for you, but I don't know, like I said, as somebody who has spent hours doing that, for me, I think, like I said, it definitely has value. So to each their own, I guess, but I think it's a good
Okay,
enough game.
good score. Yeah, we give it a good 80 plus scores are nothing to be scoffed at around here. So,
No, yeah, it's especially, with what we've dealt with in the past, it's definitely scoring high. So, okay, we'll move on to the next category, which is the aesthetics. I gave the aesthetics of this game a 17 out of 20.
I gave the aesthetics 14 out of 20, 77.5%.
Obviously, no game is going to hold up fantastic on Nintendo 64, especially 3D games. This one, just with the art style and the kind of cartoonish, exaggerated looks of the characters, it plays really well into the big polygon Nintendo 64 characters. They had, your characters showed physical damage to their face and body and stuff like that, which was almost an unheard of type thing. Like that was really, really like cool at the time. And they managed to bring that over to Nintendo 64. Game runs quickly, and the menus are all really clear. The music, I mean, the music, there's not a big variety of music, but it's there, and the theme song obviously has, it's a unique theme song, and they got Buffer to actually do the voices for Let's Get Ready to Rumble, which is obviously a mandatory thing. If you didn't get that, you're really, really lacking on a game that's actually called Ready to Rumble. So hats off to them for managing to get the proper celebrity voice. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, for me, it was pretty good overall. It was just basically the only thing that held it up was the fact that just the console doesn't hold up as well to modern standards as you'd hope.
Yeah, the sound on this game is top-notch. Like between the ambient crowd noise, which is better than most of the crowd or stadium noises in any game we've played so far, right down to the punching noise. Like we didn't have the bang boom like visuals, but the sound, like you could just tell which punches were hitting better, which and then the dodging, like all the noises were great. Music was good, but that didn't detract from how good just the audio quality was on this game. And yeah, Buffer yelling all the time and all the individual voices of the fighters, all excellent. But like you said, I really enjoyed the art style of this game, but because of the weird place that this game put me in by playing it first on Dreamcast and now second on N64, that version looks better. It just looks better. And so that made me like nitpick at this one, I guess. The most glaring, obvious thing that bothered me was there was always some like the polygons look good, but there was some definite like jagged polygon bullshit happening. Like all of a sudden there'd be like an arm and a head while you're punching, like going through somebody's face, or like your own body, your like shoulder separates from the body while you're punching, or like it's just and it's just it didn't even it's so the game is so fast that unless you're sitting and being some video game reviewer guy doing a podcast about N64 games trying to like find stuff, you wouldn't even really be bothered by it. But it was enough for me to notice the difference between that CD DVD quality game and the cartridge game trying to run the same game, which was designed for an arcade system, so.
Yeah, obviously the Dreamcast is definitely the way to play this. Like that's pretty much without question. Aside from actually playing it on a stand-up arcade cabinet, you're not going to do better than the Dreamcast. This game holds up pretty good. Obviously, it didn't match it, in every aspect because the Dreamcast was so much more powerful. I mean, we're talking twice the amount of processing power, and so it was definitely, and it was optimized for, Dreamcast. It definitely holds up better there. I played it on PlayStation, and the 64 version like is noticeably, I think, better on 64, at least in terms of like looks and how it ran. And given like what you said, the sound quality being as good as it is for a cart, very impressive. But honestly, this is one of the better sounding games that we've played so far, if that's the thing. Like it really didn't. They must have used a lot of the space on the cart for the sound because the audio quality is really good. So for Nintendo 64, by that standard, it's really fantastic. I mean, but like you said, there are definitely some graphical sacrifices you make when you're porting down to a less powerful system. And but all in all, I mean, the game runs really clean, it runs really smooth for what we got out of it, so I can't detract too much on that. And like I said, coming from playing the PlayStation version, the 64 version is definitely a better looking game.
Yeah, Midway just has their shit together. Like, it feels like they have the same, and this isn't like a knock on them, but they just take the same game and just replace the sport with a new sport. Because obviously, these characters look a lot like the Showtime characters, and they look a lot like the Blitz characters. And then, another big thing that we praised Showtime for was how great the sound was in Showtime and how great the animations were in Showtime. And it's the same thing here in Blitz. Like, was there anything better than the tackling noises and ambient noise in Blitz to make you know that you were smashing the other team? No, that was the best game for noise in football on the system. I mean, as far as I remember, it was. So once again, Midway just knocking it out of the park with sports games. They should just do a Midway collection or something. God damn it.
This generation was definitely the first to actually bring arcades into the home. I mean, they were always like from day one, like as soon as the NES dropped and even the Atari, that was the goal, was to bring arcades into the home. But Midway and this generation really managed to, they must have, these consoles had the power to actually run, close to what you were getting out of an arcade style machine, which Midway, like I said, seemed to have found that sweet spot. So for this generation of video games really cementing the death of like the actual arcade, Midway did a lot to bring that into the home. So it's a shame that they went under with the stand-up arcade industry, but their swan song was definitely something that benefited people in the home console market, because yeah, they brought some really, really great arcade games into the home.
It's crazy to me that Midway, when it was in its death rattle, was bought for $100,000 along with all their intellectual property except for Mortal Kombat. One gentleman bought Midway for $100,000. Granted, he also had to take in their millions of dollars of debt that they had at the time. But for that period, think of all the games that he owned. The intellectual property too, and he owned the programmers, the physical place where the games were made. What a fucking like wet dream for a gamer to own all that, especially at this time.
So, like, does he still own all this property, or who? Because I know
No,
Warner Brothers
he got sued later on.
owns.
He was like Redstone Media or something. He owned so what happened was is he bought the thing. And then one of his partners short sold stock in it, and then they went bankrupt. So there was a lot of talk of collusion and insider information, and but because it was the idea was that this company was buying it to liquidate the debt and make a big Midway comeback. And instead, what happened was they sold off Mortal Kombat. And then, on the wave that was supposed to be Midway making its big comeback, they instead sold off a bunch of stock and then dumped the company. So
So they took the they took that sweet Mortal Kombat money and ran.
sort of,
They did.
yes.
That sucks, 'cause honestly, WB has been putting out some quality games based off of their Mortal Kombat stuff, and it would be cool. I don't know if anybody owns the stuff now, but if somebody owns the Midway stuff, Warner Brothers would be a not a terrible outfit to work for. Like, obviously Mortal Kombat's run by like NetherRealm or whatever studios, but it's all owned by WB.
Yeah, I don't quite know why. It's just another one of those games that just this and all of Midway stuff just kind of sitting in limbo. Like we could use another Gauntlet game, and we could use another one of, these games like we talked
Yeah.
about, or Beth, a Jam game. We could use another Blitz game, and there's probably a legal reason why it's not happening because of the what happened to the company. But I
Yeah.
imagine maybe a lot of the original people who are involved in it maybe have a sour taste in their mouth still and don't really want to stay in video gaming. But
Maybe. I don't know. All I can say is that I if somebody owns this property and is just sitting on it hoping to make a buck, fuck you.
yes,
When
fuck intellectual property.
when does it become like public domain? 'Cause let's speed that process up. Fuck you, Disney, for making this a thing.
No, fuck you is a good end. Yeah, I don't got any more. Fuck you.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next category then, which is the cost. And right now, well, when I played it and last looked at it, I think it was retailing on 64 at around 11, 1150. I haven't looked at it recently. Which is, that's smack dab in our middle of the road sweet spot. I gave it a 15 out of 20.
I gave it a 13 out of 20, so 70% of the points. Right on the head, I had an 11, 18 was the number when I reviewed it. It's 650 on PlayStation, so obviously cheaper there, but it's 12 bucks on Dreamcast. So this isn't the most costly way to play this game. Obviously, the most costly way would be to was this an arcade game? Does this have a cabinet?
Yeah,
That
I'm pretty sure it did.
would be the way.
Right.
That'd be the expensive way. Never got one of those like one-up remake cabinet things, but so
Yeah,
yeah, I
there's.
guess Dreamcast is the most expensive, and it's more expensive in other regions, so
Yeah. Well, not all of them though. There's a couple of them. I think Japan has like one of the JP games is like $2. So there is really cheap ways to play this, but. But on Nintendo 64, you're looking at about $11, and like I said, that's a good price for a quality game. It's not necessarily the best way to play it. It's not necessarily the cheapest way to play it. So you can't really go too overboard saying it's a super value. But
it's a buy.
it's definitely a good enough game that obviously you should pick it up if you see it. If you're buying Nintendo 64 games to play them. This is definitely one that I would recommend putting your money down on because $11 is pretty good price. I don't know, the prices I've seen on eBay were all over the place though, so I don't know what people are selling there. This might be one of those games that gets some fakes out there too, but
Yeah, the only other thing that I gripe I would have that keep it down, this is not really a sports game and it's not really a fighting game. So you have to like both of those genres to get into this game, or at least one of the two of them, and then have a little wiggle in your in what you're okay playing. So if you're a big, sim sports fanatic, you're not gonna like fall in love with this like Fight Night. And if you're big into fighting games, it might lack the like competitive depth that you would get in a traditional Mortal Kombat or Tekken style game. But it's the best of both worlds. And if you can embrace that, you're gonna get a lot of fun out of it. This, especially at $11. This is a good game for $11.
yeah, in terms of just sitting down and playing, I think it's definitely a good. It's a good just pick it up and play a few matches and put it back down, arcade style fighting game. So I don't know. I really enjoyed this game. If my ratings didn't give that away, this is definitely one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite like games, period. Definitely from that generation. So I can't stress enough that this is probably a must own from my perspective. But it's a little bit pricier than you'd hope.
Well, your score, your total score, which is where we're at now at the end of this review, total score, reflects that. You gave it an 87%, which is a very impressive score. I gave it a 71, which is a very good score. So together, 79.5%. This is the second highest game we reviewed behind Tony Hawk.
So it surpasses Donkey Kong.
And Showtime, which also surpassed Donkey Kong.
So obviously the price helps it a lot. I mean that's the cool thing about some of these really good games that were really quite popular, not super high cost, helps those review scores go up. Looking at you, Conker's Bad Fur Day. But yeah, no, I honestly the reviews about this game at the time were very, very kind of they clearly acknowledged the fact that the Dreamcast one was better. So if you can't review this game in a vacuum at the time when there's a better version out there, so nothing even came close to what the Dreamcast numbers were, because the Dreamcast numbers were getting like really great reviews. But it did really well, you know, sevens, eights, a couple outliers, but people are always reviewing things dumb just because they can. So because it
Yeah, the
sells.
gamer rankings was 78%, so really close to our score. Nintendo Power 7.9, IGN 7.8, GameSpot 6.7, EGM 7. Like you said, the Dreamcast across the board got higher reviews except for Nintendo Power because they don't review Dreamcast games. But but yeah, so our this is one of the few times where our score stayed true to the scores when it came out, and it's just because it held up. This game holds up.
Yep, and that's kind of what we're looking for here is to see how these games compared to what they were when they first came out. So, definitely this one it didn't it aged well. So, absolutely a quality game. Enjoyed it a lot. I wish they could all be ready to rumble boxing.
And regardless of what we say about the cost versus value score, essentially everything above a 75 so far in our scale is a must buy, or at least a must own. Maybe don't buy it at the retail price, but you should have it in your collection if you want to have N64 games to play them, not just have them to have them.
If you want to get all the ladies.
By having them to have them.
Yeah.
That's what the ladies like.
Everyone knows that like the ladies love Nintendo 64 games. That's why we're doing this.
The only number that my lady was ever impressed with was the ever dwindling number of how many games more I needed before she could see me stop buying them. I remember one text in specific because I used to just keep a messenger, like in our Facebook Messenger, I had a ongoing list of the ones we needed. More of like a hint to her if she saw them in any place she was at, because she likes a thrift shop too and stuff. But more so I could always have a quick glance and know if I was missing a game when I was in an expensive place. And I remember a specific text from her was, "Really, that's how small it is now? Good."
Yeah. And it is good. It is good that you have them all. Well, speaking of things that are good, let's see what we're gonna play next. Are you eating?
I was scratching my head. I'm sorry for making a noise. My head itched
Okay.
behind my microphone.
Let's say don't eat during the podcast.
I know for a fact
Oh yeah, I ate cookies. All
that
Christmas was all cookies all the time. Yeah. All right, let's pick next week's game. You get to do that because you reviewed like shit, so.
Yeah, I got the jar. All right. Come on, Quest 64. I don't even know what number that is. I don't know what number I'm rooting for.
Oh, okay.
But this one is 209.
209. What is number? Show me 209.
Me see. Potato salad. Nope. It's Madden 99.
All right. Hold up, Reddit. Fuck you that this is the 209th game that people said they've played. Like a bunch of fucking nerds. Madden
Well,
99.
maybe they played the Madden 64 one and then didn't feel a need to buy another football game because they're Reddit
Nerds.
I
scream
nerd
from my Nintendo 64 podcast.
But yeah, 209 is pretty low for a well-known sports game. But you know, this is, keep in mind, this is also worldwide, right? It is not just a you know, USA only platform. So American football is not necessarily the most popular sport elsewhere.
So you're doubting the appeal of Garrison Hurst to sell copies of this game in Europe?
Well, you do bring up a valid point that John Madden's face was not the desirable face for the Japanese and European copy. We went with then popular running back Garrison Hurst. Which team was he on when this came out?
He was a Niner. So
I remember him as a Cardinal.
That's when he was drafted. He was drafted a Cardinal. And then he never stopped getting injured since.
But he was good enough to be on the Madden game? He was good enough with the Niners to be on a cover?
He had, like, two spectacular fucking years before, basically, he, like, broke his leg every fucking year after that.
Sean Alexander then, huh?
Yeah, but Garrison Hurst had, like, really, really good, like, two-year period where everyone's like, he's back! This draft pick has been redeemed! And then it's like, no, it hasn't! But he still has more of a presence than who was his other draft? Kijana Carter.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was his the other running back that was going to be the next big thing. That
there was a
really
bunch that year that never Rashan Salaam came out that year, didn't he?
I don't know.
And Tim Biakabatuka. I feel like that was all the same season, because I remember that was Mike hard football card collecting time. And I feel like I had a lot of those rookie cards all simultaneously.
I bet big on two players that never really panned out. And it was Kijana Carter and Heath Shuler. Oh. And neither of them really made a much of a career.
No, I but mean, those they, cards they worth played, a lot but... for a year.
Yeah, for a year. I had so many Heath Shuler rookie cards.
Oh, who was the other? Rick Meyer. No, Joey. Who was the wide receiver for the Seahawks? Not Joey
Galloway?
I don't think it was Joey Galloway. Maybe it was Rick Meyer.
Rick Meyer was the Drew Bledsoe year. That was prior to this.
That was like 90. Yeah, you're right. That would have been way before this.
That was like 96.
So maybe it was Joey Galloway.
Might have been.
Man, there was so many fucking. That was like. Keyshawn Johnson was around that same time too, where he was like holding because he was the number one pick, and that was when the Jets like didn't want to take him one. That was Parcells' time. Man, well, football we're such football nerds. We yell from our N64 podcast about other nerds.
Keyshawn played for quite a few years, but Joey Galloway played like I feel like 1,000 fucking years, but. He probably put up like Hall of Fame numbers, but only because he played like a Vinny Testaverde number of years.
Yeah, people like to poo-poo on Frank Gore because he's going to have Hall of Fame numbers, and it's only because he just never stops playing the game. But
man, you could say the same thing about Emmitt Smith, although Emmitt Smith had a very dominant period too.
Yes, so. Yeah. Frank Gore had some good years, but not necessarily the best years.
Emmitt Smith broke every record with like last year as a Cardinal that he got 1,000 yards, and that was pretty much the end. Oh, yeah. Well, on that note, let's move on to power trip time.
Hey, it's your power trip.
Okay, power trip for the uninitiated is... I forgot how many seconds we do. It's been a week. 30.
Some...
30 seconds of uninterrupted time to talk about whatever the person who reviewed better wants. Higher. Reviewed higher. I'll be nice. We'll say
better.
But I feel like I did better. So, 30 seconds to talk about whatever I want. Do we have a sponsor this week?
We do, but before I say the sponsor, I just glanced over at the TV, and while we're talking about football nerd stuff, Tom Brady just threw a touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, which would put him now breaking the postseason touchdown record and yards record. Did you know that?
Do those yards count towards his contract? Are they gonna have to fucking pay him now?
No, but the previous record was held by Tom Brady in both those stats. So,
Oh, Tom Brady broke the record, not Antonio Brown.
yeah, Tom Brady broke the Tom Brady records that Tom Brady set.
Well, everything Tom Brady does is a record now, isn't it? Because you're counting up.
Well, yeah, that's the fucking
Yeah.
joke, DJ.
It was a bad joke because I thought you were going to talk about Antonio Brown and how the Bucks like throttled his fucking playing time so they didn't have to pay him.
No, but he got. Did you once again? This now we're back to Tom Brady and how great he is. Antonio Brown actually hit almost all of his contract incentives by getting two touchdown catches in the final game of the season, and they were both Tom Brady stepping back and forward lateraling it to him, so it counted as a pass instead of a run. And he called the same play specifically in the same scenario twice, and both of them went for touchdowns, so Antonio Brown could meet his contract incentive goals for the year because
That's
Tom Brady is amazing.
dope as hell for a guy who holds a lot of right wing shit. He sure is doing his union proud.
The Players Union loves them some Tom Brady because Tom Brady sucks away that money like no other. Not going to pay me after winning six rings. I'm going to go somewhere else with no taxes and they're going to pay me.
Oh, that's right. Florida's a stupid shithole.
Yep. But it's all player money there. So.
Yeah. All right, all right, all right. What's our sponsor?
Though, speaking of enormous waste of money, this week's sponsor is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. And the only reason it's our sponsor is because I have seen it literally everywhere except for this podcast. So now it's here. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War is a fucking waste of money. I haven't
And
even
it's
bought it
everywhere.
because they're not making as much money as they want on it. You want to know why? Because everybody wants to play Warzone. You know the advantage of having Cold War and Warzone? Fucking nothing, because you get to unlock all the shit in Warzone from Black Ops. So fuck that shit. And you know what? Half the guns are all duplicated anyway. It's like I have two classes where I have an SKS and an AK-60, AK-47, and they're just two different versions of the same gun from different games. It's stupid. Black Ops didn't need to happen, but I guess everyone likes zombies. So, yeah. That's almost
So,
a power creep in
Call of Duty
itself.
Black Ops Cold
Yeah.
War, that's your
Thanks.
sponsor.
Thanks, sponsor.
Thanks,
As I.
Mountain Dew.
Thanks, Mountain Dew of video games.
So, anyway, now that you're good and wound up, you want me to give you a countdown?
Yes.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
You don't get to stop being a Donald Trump supporter now. You don't get to go 3.89 fucking years and say, oh, he's going a little bit too far with all this like coup shit. No, you don't get to do that. And if I fucking catch anybody who's all fucking MAGA not being MAGA now, I'm gonna fucking Aldo Raines your fucking ass and I'm gonna carve a big ass T into your goddamn forehead. And that's just gonna fucking happen. How much time do I got
Time.
left?
That's
All
it.
right.
If you would just stop your sentence.
Nope, we're good. That's what I needed to say. Fuck these people. I did not put up with 4 years of you snowflakes fucking running your goddamn mouths to be like, oh, now America's that threat. Be like, fuck you, now I'm the threat.
I back this pod. This I don't frequently fully back a power trip, but I don't have anything additionally to say other than I do really like protests. So power to them for walking peacefully into the Capitol, even though they were told not to, which wouldn't work for literally any other colored skin people, but it did work for them, and they got to walk out with a bunch of cool shit, and then later got arrested. And one guy tasered his balls to death. So power to them.
They
I assume you caught that story, didn't you?
I did, and I refuse to listen to anybody who is debunking it. Guy tasered his balls to death.
Well, he put a on taser in his pocket, and while attempting to steal a painting, a 100-year-old painting, accidentally had the taser shock him in the balls until he had a heart attack.
Yes. And like I said, anybody who's trying to debunk that can fuck right off. If I have to listen to your QAnon bullshit, you get to listen to your QAnon tased in the fucking balls bullshit. So y'all got tased in the fucking balls. They all tased. That's not even my favorite one though. My favorite one is the lady who got trampled after she brought the "Don't Tread on Me" flag to the fucking protest. Because I mean, that's the whole fucking point of your stupid flag in its most literal form, and you fucking tread all over. I mean, goddamn. Goddamn.
If you want to argue these points with us, you can argue them over my hot red tasered dead bodies balls.
If anybody wants to debate this, hit us up on Anchor and I will fucking meet you somewhere and carve the T into your head that I fucking promised you. You fucking weirdos. For the sake of, future generations and archaeologists unearthing this podcast, what happened on January 6th of 2021, which was supposed to be our fucking let's take a goddamn break year, a bunch of fucking weirdo right-wing internet memes it basically invaded the US Capitol building to try to stop an election that has already been decided in every way, shape, and form, with the exception of the formality. And I don't like them.
They almost got the formality too. The idea was that they were going to walk in and steal the ballot boxes from our electoral college, and those ceremoniously are held in three very real boxes with carrying straps on them. And they, while this was all happening, they were just left sitting there as people were trying to figure out how to lock doors and hide and things. And then I don't know who that hasn't been brought forward, or not that I've seen yet. Somebody made the heads up call that, hey, they're probably coming for those ballots that they're talking about for the last, so they locked up the ballots and got them out of there. And because even though you could just recast them, destroying those officially cast ballots would have been a major hindrance to our election process. So. But had
God,
they got those three fucking boxes that any normal person could have carried, they would have succeeded. And nobody's talking about the fucking boxes of physical ballots, which blows my mind.
this is such a fake ass fucking country.
I live in a democracy.
Look at these boxes. Fucking the fact that we even have a goddamn like 2 month waiting period, because that's how much time it took George Washington to get to fucking Washington when he was elected president. That is literally why we have to fucking wait while, the loser president gets to still be president, because we just haven't thought to be like, maybe we'll just have this be an instantaneous transfer of power like every other fucking civilized country in the goddamn world. But no, we're like, but what happens if the president is in Delaware and he needs to ride his fucking horse to goddamn DC? Gotta give him time. That takes about, well, it took 4 months, but now it only takes two because, once again, functioning democracy.
No, it's because horses are faster.
Now they all take Ford Mustangs instead of just regular Mustangs. And apparently that still takes like 2 months,
Gonna allow that dad joke from you.
whatever. fucking stupid. Anyway, fuck the police, but I'm glad these people are in jail. And I after spending a whole fucking summer yelling at the police to stop shooting people, they picked a sure fucking weird ass time to stop shooting fucking people. But yeah.
Yeah, we kind of got the stuff we wanted and the stuff we didn't want. And I mean, I'm calling it a win because people are in jail and a guy tasered his balls and the thing that they were trying to do didn't happen. So it's a win for me. But it's more like a moral win that this build up from 4 years resulted in the most weird, quirky coup that any country has ever seen, because it was more like everybody watching an episode of like Cops, where the drunk guy just won't stay handcuffed for 4 years. That's kind of what we've had. This was the culmination. He finally kicked the window out of the cop car, and then the cops tasered his balls until he went to jail. So.
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, our coup got closer to the fucking capital than Juan Guaido ever did in Venezuela.
This is the first time the Capitol's been breached since 1812, Alvin.
I know they should have went for the fucking White House, man. I know they would, obviously isn't the whole thing, but Canada burned down the White House, and these fuckers didn't even think to light a couple fires on the way out.
Right? Or
Look,
didn't draw any dicks on the walls? Like nothing.
death to America all day over here, but not from them. Like, if anybody's killing America, it's me, personally.
Real Americans.
Yeah. I'm a gun guy now. I don't know if you gathered that, but I'm buying lots of guns. It's a
And
terrible.
you've also potentially been buying a big gross pickup truck too to carry your
Well,
guns.
see, if they give me that $2,000, I'm gonna be a gun guy with a pickup truck, because somebody has to have like a truck with guns to counter their trucks with guns. So, I mean, if I can't get a big pickup truck, I'm just gonna get like a fucking one of those Toyotas that they strap the machine guns to the back and run forever.
Oh, yeah, the Hilux.
Yeah,
I love those.
we're going all technical all the time here.
It would be
But
really
no,
fun
yeah.
to have like a Geo Tracker. Those run for quite some time and the parts are cheap. A Geo Tracker, because you could just cover that in guns so
Oh,
quick.
yeah. It's got that roll bar in the back too, so it's already like ready for turret mounting. They roll over real easy though, so I don't know.
Yeah, they do. But I don't think that's really an issue you're going to have when you're already pumping bullets and things. So
Well,
it's not going to
I
be a whole lot of high speed bullet shoot or bullet exchanges. So.
drive a hatchback, so I was thinking, just mount the gun into the back of the hatchback and just pop the fucking hatch, and then you're just there, I'll just
Makes sense.
turn the back seat around so you can sit there. And
But.
did you know Gatling guns are not machine guns, so legal.
The thing with the hatchback that would worry me would be hot casings floating around inside the vehicle and not flying out the strategically open ass end of a pickup truck. So.
Yeah, they don't get that hot. I mean, the expended cases aren't hot enough for long enough to start a fire.
Well, I'm not worried about fire. I just want to burn my leg. What if I'm wearing
Oh,
shorts?
I don't know. I feel like it's a
Gotta look out for your
minor. Is there
brother in the back of the vehicle.
who's wearing shorts to the fucking Civil War here?
Mean,
That's
prob I do
what
wear
we got.
shorts like 80% of the time. So.
Well, I hope they're at least cargo shorts so you can at least look like tactical.
No, I wear basketball shorts.
Oh my God.
It's function over form. I like to be comfortable during my
Fucking
revolution.
millennials.
Yeah.
It's
All
funny
right.
because you're older
Fucking
than me.
millennials. Yeah, fucking millennials. Fuck you.
I don't know. We got time. What else you want to talk about? Anything else historic happened lately?
No, I mean we covered taser balls and Tom Brady. That's everything that's happened in my world for, I mean, it's almost hockey season, so that's cool. Super blood
Tomorrow,
hockey.
well, yeah, Super Blood Hockey is dope, but tomorrow is the deadline for our death pool.
Oh, yep.
So
If
any
anybody wants to get involved in the death pool, just search whatever our name of our death pool is.
what is it? It's
Death Lab 2021.
yeah. Dave, if you search now, this is only going to apply to tomorrow when this podcast isn't even going to be out. So fuck. You're too late.
You could still spectate for a year and then join next year.
Oh, you're not going to close it after this? You're going to let all these fucking people in?
No, they can. I don't close the group. You could. I let all sorts of like
Oh, random people in?
sunglass salesmen and all sorts of things into the group because
I mean, you're tallying it, so I guess it's up to you if you need that fucking data. But yeah, well, if you want to observe our death pool, we do one every year. And if you join and see what we do and want to be part of it next year, I mean, this is it, aren't these illegal?
I don't know. We
Probably.
there's we're not collecting any. I'm not collecting any fees from anybody, so I don't think
True,
so.
but there is prizes.
I do just give away prizes because that's
Right.
a thing we do.
The
This year's
prize
prize
is.
was a trophy, a horse trophy, a Quick
Yes.
Trip gift card, and a half bottle of shitty tequila was gave to our winner Amanda this year.
Juarez. Juarez tequila.
It was the silver, though,
It's.
not the gold.
Well, naturally, because it'd be weird if you were buying shitty tequila and then buying gold.
Would it be weird?
It would be weird because you buy non-gold tequila for mixing. You buy gold tequila for just drinking neat. At least that's my theory behind it.
Well, when you're buying $9 tequila to make Mountain Dew Ritas, it doesn't really matter the brand.
$9? That's so cheap. Is it actually, is it like 100% agave or is it like agave food substitute or
No,
whatever
I
the fuck
believe
else
it
it
is
is?
agave tequila.
Well, how is it fucking bad? I don't know.
It
$9
wasn't
tequila?
terrible. Ask Amanda how it was. She messaged me as soon as I dropped it off. She's like, half bottle of tequila. She's like, that's the best part. I'm like, objectively, it is
Never mind the
the
fact you could go buy a full bottle of tequila with the gift card, but
Yep.
the half bottle does add a certain je ne sais quoi to the
The
price.
half bottle is already open at your doorsteps.
Right. Which, I mean, is definitely not fucking legal.
I don't know what you're talking about. None of this
It
happened.
didn't come through the mail, so I guess that's the big thing.
And I was gonna wrap it. I was like, oh, wife, do we have any leftover gift bags? Because I know we do. And instead, on the way to finding gift bags, I found the brown paper bag instead. So
Honestly,
it all went in a paper grocery bag.
that's probably the most appropriate way to wrap that gift.
2020 was very much a paper bag, half bottle of shitty tequila a year.
It really fucking was. And 2021 is like shaping up to be the same thing with the tequila bottle empty. So
Yeah. And the bag has been discarded and not recycled, and the person is laying on the side of the road.
but the government gave me $600, so
Well, joke's on you.
hey.
I, as being the elder statesman, father, and husband of the group, I got
Oh
$2,400.
no.
So,
Oh no. That's such bullshit. Let me have one. Just one of them for tax purposes.
well,
Like
no.
legal
First of all,
guardianship
no.
for
And then,
tax purposes.
no. Also, no.
That's how it works.
Yeah, dude. So I double cashed in. That's like five grr over the year then from those. And if they do the $2,000 one,
Ugh.
swimming,
Ugh.
swimming, buddy.
Ugh.
All the video games.
Ugh. Oh my God, that's so much fucking money. That's so much money. I'm on a, I don't know what I'm gonna, well, obviously I'm still waiting to get my Xbox because still can't find any Xboxes. Only thing this country makes is fucking shitty coups.
And
But
switches.
and switches. I already got a Switch.
Switch lights. Lots of switch
They should
lights in the
make
stores right now.
some more Joy-Cons that don't fucking work. Although you did say there was those one Joy-Cons that are
Oh,
shitty.
yeah, let's plug a couple things. We randomly plugged Super Blood Hockey in here, which is an enjoyable game for the Switch.
Great game. Great game.
So if you like ice hockey, Super Blood Hockey, it's cheap right now too. As long as you don't buy the physical version like me and then have to wait 3 months to get a copy of it, you can just get the digital one for $4 and, have it immediately and then talk to your friend about it.
Yeah,
But
like we did.
also the controllers Alvin's talking about is the Hori brand Split Pad Pro, which are some beefy Joy-Con replacements for the side of your controller. And I don't usually endorse third-party stuff, but these are really nice. They're sturdy. The joysticks are more traditional joysticks, not the whatever the digital type ones that the Joy-Cons are, which seem to fail from what I hear on occasion. But these are nice, and it's my big thing with playing handheld is that it sucks. It hurts my wrists, and I have fat fingers and big hands, and it's not made for those. You talked about it playing Animal Crossing that you have to stop after a long time, or what game were
Well,
you were
mostly
playing? You were playing something
blood
else.
hockey.
Oh, was
Super blood hockey is what I was
it?
playing.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
yeah, these make for a much more relaxing handheld experience, but it does increase the I don't know which way would it be length or width if you're talking about handle to handle on a Switch? Was that width? Anyway,
Guess.
it increases whichever dimension that is exponentially. The two controllers are almost as big as the screen, so it's a girthy boy now in my charging dock. But yeah, Hori split pads, they're only like, depending on the pattern you get and the decoration, somewhere between 35 and $50, but totally worth it.
Good deal. Let's see, what do I plug? I'll plug the Emperor Firearms MX500 semi-automatic shotgun. It cycles well. You want to use a little bit higher velocity rounds in it, otherwise it tends not to work. But I've been shooting some Black Aces tactical buckshot, and it's like 1425 feet per second and cycles great. I just got done breaking it down, cleaning the motherfucker. So yeah,
How's the cost versus
Emperor
value
Arms.
on that one?
Very good, actually. I got this gun. The only reason I bought it because I wasn't in the market for the shotgun, but the gun store who, I'll plug them. It's DeBoss Firearms, but they're in Oshkosh. You're not finding them online or nothing. But anyway, they had a flash sale on Facebook where it was $200 off. So
Oh, nice.
I got it for a steal.
Bargain shopper.
Yeah, well, that's how I do.
That's us.
That's us. But yeah, no, it's a really decent semi-automatic shotgun. So if anybody should try to coup your home, it could solve that problem 4 times plus 1.
Can scream tally ho as you pump a load into their chest
Yeah.
and then also into their leg and sever a limb while you
Yeah.
protect your ballot boxes.
I mean, I could probably one shot could have taken out a lot of fucking problems at the Capitol. Just if the fucking police need some advice, I would highly recommend shooting Nazis with shotguns if the police need some advice, and stop shooting black people who have no guns and no bombs. Please and thank you, Capitol Police.
As our forefathers intended.
Right. I mean, well, that is kind of what actually the forefathers did create the police for, but I mean they kind of did make them to just shoot and catch black people. So they're, I guess,
No, I
technically
more mean
doing.
owning the guns to shoot the people.
Oh. Oh, well, I mean, I think I have it on good authority that the police have quite a few guns.
Do you
Don't
have inside information?
quote me on this, but I hear they have pretty much all the guns, which is they don't have the guns that I have, so that's why I have to keep having more to just try to equal the score, because it's important that everything has balance, you know. The answer is somewhere in the middle, and the
Yeah.
middle is me having as many guns as the police. So,
Because one side is the police having all the guns and the other side is Alvin having zero guns.
right.
Somewhere in the middle is you having a lot of guns.
And now I'm at
Some guns.
six plus one on the way.
Now they know how many they have compared to your number.
Believe me, I've had to do enough background checks in the past like 2 months. They know fucking how many guns I have. But
You need to go to more gun shows.
yeah, but then they charge you more. Those fuckers know exactly what they're doing. But, you know, because we're still in a fucking global pandemic, they don't have gun shows anymore because these assholes will fucking go to everything else except for like, you know, getting together to sell me guns.
Sure. This makes sense.
The gun store assured me that the government will not know how many guns or which guns I have unless I commit a crime. And I said, well, who would use a gun in a crime? They'll never fucking know.
I said to the gun store
You know,
owner.
that's what you have to say because if you lie, you fail your background check.
That's just like
They
going
ask
and
you in
buying
the.
fireworks. Are you going to
They.
shoot these fireworks off? Absolutely not. I said to the
No.
fireworks store owner, I will be giving
I'm.
them to a fireworks superintendent who will then shoot them off at a safe location as designed.
I'm not a user of fireworks. I am a fireworks connoisseur.
Yeah.
I just like to have them. I smell them. It's like tasting wine, and then I put them back into the sh on the shelf.
To observe
It's like
them in
that.
my homestead
Yeah.
as the forefathers
Right.
intended.
As the forefathers intended. Yeah. So fun. Fun stuff. All right. Well, I think we have enough what I would quote unquote call content for this episode. So let's do this. Let's wrap this up. Let's
Okay.
wrap this up.
How about you say goodnight this time and then I'll say something stupid.
All right. Good night to everybody in a time zone that is not in the United States because this episode's coming out at like 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I've been releasing these at random fucking times a day now just because it's funny to me because it makes absolutely no difference as to who gets to listen. So sometimes it's out at 6, sometimes it's out at 10. It really all depends on how I'm feeling that day. Sometimes I just feel a little catty and I'll mix it up and be like, ha, 420. Nah.
And most importantly, we're a 24-hour podcast network professionally. So,
Oh, we're a network now.
yes.
Who else is in our podcast?
Also, us other shows coming up is
Yeah.
the two men and a truck gun show. So,
Yeah. And we're also going to judge books by their cover.
yep.
And I might shoot them. I might shoot the books. We're gonna shoot books by the cover.
So now I'm
So.
going to say goodnight.
My name is Lieutenant Aldo Raine, and I'm putting together a special team, and I need me 8 soldiers. 8 Jewish American soldiers. Now, y'all might have heard rumors about the Armada happening soon. Well, we'll be leaving a little earlier. We're gonna be dropped into France dressed as civilians. And once we're in enemy territory, as a bushwhacking guerrilla army, we're gonna be doing one thing and one thing only: killing Nazis. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I sure as hell didn't come down from the goddamn Smoky Mountains, cross 5,000 miles of water, fight my way through half of Sicily, and jump out of a fucking aeroplane to teach the Nazis lessons in humanity. Nazi ain't got no humanity. They're the foot soldiers of a Jew-hating, mass-murdering maniac, and they need to be destroyed.